Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, and this is the post-RAW edition of the PW Torch Livecast. Thanks for joining me today, Monday, March 6th, 2017. If it wasn't official yet, WrestleMania season has begun. We got 1 month before the big Sunday, and we have some big angles on tonight's program, including just seconds ago, Undertaker showing up in Chicago at the end of Raw, unannounced, and he stared down Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman, either in a sign of fear or respect, walked out of the ring after an intense 30-second stare down in which the crowd first started chanting CM Punk, and then they overrode that with a holy shit chant. Braun retreated through the crowd, and then Roman Reigns, who had earlier said, "Braun, if he wants to find me, I'll be in the ring," finally got around to coming to the ring. And he entered the ring and told Undertaker, "This is my yard now." He punctuated "my yard." I thought Roman was good. I thought Undertaker was good and looked like Undertaker, which is important. He looked the part, looked vintage. So that was the show closing angle. Let's talk about tonight's Raw. What'd you think of the follow-up with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho that started out the program? Owens explaining that he was never genuinely Jericho's best friend. That all along, he was just using Jericho. And when Jericho volunteered him for a match against Goldberg, that ended the friendship, and Jericho became more harm than help. Did you like that? Another anchor segment on the show, Charlotte, Bailey, Sasha, where kind of in a way similar to Owens and Jericho, Charlotte explained to Bailey in front of Sasha that Sasha has been helping her win because Sasha can't get another title shot as long as Charlotte is champion, based on roadblock, end of the line, and the stipulation there. So therefore, Sasha wanted to face Bayley at WrestleMania. If she wanted to get another title shot, she had to help Bayley win and beat her. Bayley wasn't buying it, or was she? That's what we're meant to wonder. So those were the major anchor segments on the program. We had Neville and Austin Aries officially get it on with an angle. It was a nice moment, perfect city for this angle to take place in. The crowd there, the bellwether fans, the loud ones who let the rest of the crowd know who's cool and who's not, who is we're cheering and who's a nobody. They were loud for Aries, and some would say the whole Chicago crowd knew who Aries was, but whoever didn't, they knew that those who knew him liked him and thought he was a real deal. And Goldberg and Brock Lesnar showed up. I almost forgot about that. How could I do that? And Paul Heyman, too. At a stare down, and Brock gave Goldberg an F5. Goldberg sweating so profusely, I'm a little worried. I say that as sort of a joke, because I know it's kind of his look, and he gets all worked up, and it's kind of his gimmick. But man, he was dripping after getting up from that F5, really the whole segment. So yeah, I mean, a lot to talk about here, and some smaller stuff. You know, Big E licking the ice cream truck. With that, as Hurricane Helms would say, with a different inflection than I just did, I put a poll up on Twitter, said, "Big E licking the ice cream cart, thumbs up, thumbs down, or way down?" 34% like it, thumbs up, 9% thumbs down, 57% way down. So two-thirds giving it a thumbs down, the vast majority way thumbs down. Not a very serious poll, but seriously, what's up with that? He looks like he's shrooming and hallucinating and has, I don't, who knows? So we're going to take calls. I'm going to take calls, whole show. I'm going solo this week. I do want to announce on Wednesday on the Midweek Flagship this week at 1 Eastern, Sam Roberts from the Sam Roberts Show, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, joins me. He and I always have a good time talking wrestling, whether I'm on his show or he's on mine, and he'll be on midweek to reflect on, digest, analyze, break down everything from the past few days and really the past few weeks in wrestling and look ahead with Sam to WrestleMania. Join us then. And if you have questions for us on current events in WWE or otherwise, You can email pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That's pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. In fact, if you're listening live after Raw and you don't want to call or don't want to sit on hold and wait in line with all the people on hold, email right now your topic or question and maybe I'll get to it. pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. If you want to read my full report on Raw with analysis of almost all the major segments on the show and some minor stuff too, along with a full detail of what you might have missed, I was updating throughout Raw as Raw was airing at pwtorch.com. It's a mobile-friendly site, desktop, of course, friendly also. And get a real detailed account. I try to pick up on every detail in the ring, on commentary, on promos, crowd chants. I try to be very detailed and almost exhaustively so to cover segments that maybe you missed, or maybe you missed the entire show, or you want to find out what segments to go and check out. Plus, separate from that is my analysis in parentheses. I italicized my analysis of most of the major segments, if not all of them, and matches on the show. So check that out at pwtorch.com. I'll be doing the same thing on Tuesday night for SmackDown. Oh, one more plug for this week. Thursday, Interview Thursday, Jim Ross. In the heart of WrestleMania season, greatest announcer of all time, greatest play-by-play guy of all time, Jim Ross, the legend, the Hall of Famer, on with me. It's a Hall of Famer month with Diamond Dallas Page last Thursday. By the way, if you missed it, that Diamond Dallas Page interview last Thursday was good. There was some good stories about how he found out about the Hall of Fame. Some interesting details on that. And who's going to introduce him and how he managed to get out of picking, having to choose who's going to introduce him. Fun anecdote there. Plus some WCW stories. And late in the show, we got into how DDP yoga is going for him and some diet and nutrition and exercise discussions. Really fun show. DDP is always great when he's on the program. He always jokes that he and I have spent more hours on the phone than I probably have with any other wrestler. I'd say Sean Waltman probably gives him a run for his money as far as radio show and podcast appearances over the years, or Torch Talk appearances prior to doing the live interviews here on the live cast. DDP, a frequent guest, and I did a long form Torch Talk with him several years ago too. Check that out. It's absolutely worth your time. As always, you can find our interviews at pwtorchlivecast.com on demand. If you want to scroll through, you're in the mood for a PW Torch livecast style interview, which are usually current events driven. That's something that we really aim to do here is differentiate our show from a lot of others with our special guests focusing on current events in wrestling, making them very topical. And you can catch up on years of them at pwtorchlivecast.com, along with all of our other shows, including, by the way, Greg Parks and Pat McNeil hosting Sunday's post Fastlane livecast. If you missed out on that, it's still available for you. Yesterday's show, last night, about an hour and a half of phone calls and analysis from Pat and Greg. So I've set the table. I'm going to go to our first break of the show. When we come back, your phone calls the whole way through. So get in line now. Just scrolling through a switchboard here. Got about a dozen people on hold right now. And more being added. So our number, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Right after this, more phone calls. Or phone calls begin. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, I'm back. I'm Wade Keller hosting this show. I'll host tomorrow right after SmackDown. Sam Roberts on Wednesday, Jim Ross on Thursday. The Wednesday and Thursday shows are at 1 Eastern. But of course, Monday and Tuesday, I go on the air right after Raw and SmackDown. Okay. Oh, and one other plug. So much news going on in TNA last week. Really newsworthy week for Impact. Now I have to call it Impact Wrestling because TNA no more. And the PW Torch livecast, the newest addition here in 2017, is the post-Impact show. As soon as Impact goes off the air, Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek are on the air. The popularity of the show continues to grow. Last week, easily the biggest they've done yet with all the news, caller support growing, and check that out on demand at pwtorchlivecast.com. Let's kick off our phone calls with Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sean, welcome to the program.
Wade, thanks for having me tonight. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show, Wade. I really did. I thought the first segment with KO and Jericho was good. I thought he explained it well. You know, hey, you're not my best friend after all. You know, Sammy's my best friend. You're not. You were just my tool. I thought that was kind of a cool way to phrase it. And, you know, I like the, you know, getting them going for WrestleMania. I thought that was a kind of a good way to kick it off. So I like that segment quite a bit. The Goldberg-Lesnar I thought was good. I like just the little small of him get the F5 real quick, kind of get a little bit of a payback, you know, to kind of start off, you know, figure they're going to go back and forth quite a bit. But, you know, I thought it was pretty good, short and sweet. I thought Heyman's promo was good. I was wanting to know what you thought about that overall, but I thought it was good. The women's segment, I like that they got to the triple threat, but how they got there made no sense to me again, because I just, you know, Charlotte keeps making more sense as they go along. Bayley, all of a sudden, her character today cared about what happened at Fastlane, but she didn't care 2 weeks ago when she won the title the first time when Sasha interfered. And Sasha all of a sudden wanting to get in the title picture, you know, and then Nick's having to stand up for her, you know, he's just in a bad situation. I mean, I want to know what you thought, but it was just weird how they got there. It just didn't make any sense. And it's like, then Sasha or Charlotte's interfering. Like, why would you interfere? Just let them fight it out. Why would you try to get involved and all of a sudden help Sasha basically get the win to get herself in the match? Like, it was weird to me, the whole thing. I was just kind of like, it's gotten worse and worse to me. And Stephanie just seems like she makes more and more sense, you know, by what she says. And I don't know what you thought overall of the whole segment itself, but that's what I thought about it.
Look, yeah, I'll focus on the women's segment. I agree that the ending was clunky and could have been much better with Charlotte and Dana interfering. Dana distracting the ref as Charlotte leaned through the ropes. And the story that the announcers told, and I think the intent of the match, of the finish of the match, was that Charlotte was trying to pop Sasha Banks in the face to get her to break the hold on Bayley. And that might open up Bayley to maybe hitting a Bayley to belly. The problem is Bayley was about to reach the bottom rope and force a break. And then seconds later, after Charlotte interfered, Sasha reapplied the bank statement and got the win. So it made it look like Charlotte's interference stopped Bayley from getting a break and helped Sasha immediately win. And I just think it was a bad finish. I think the producers or the wrestlers themselves came up with a bad finish. It did not play out the way. I give them credit for the idea being that Charlotte wanted a one-on-one match. She was trying to help Bayley win. But I take away almost all credit because it didn't come across that way to viewers. Even the announcer seemed a little confused. And then I think it was clarified in headset perhaps, or, you know, whatever. And they figured out what was going on and Cole tried to make the best of it and explain it. But yeah. And I mean, maybe Bayley is a livecast listener and I shamed her into caring about the fact that she was holding the title. I've done so much audio this week with so much pushback from people telling me that Bayley had nothing to apologize for. And now she's come around to my way of thinking. You know, Stephanie made a pretty good case, obviously two times now. Bayley should be feeling a little, to me, I think that it's not to get off onto a hot button topic, but it's the same thing with Hulk Hogan and the comments that he said and the words that he used. I think that the standard for Hulk Hogan to be Hulk Hogan, let's celebrate this role model, this superhero, all the kids wearing the Hulkamania shirts. I think the standards for him are higher to come back and be celebrated by the WWE machine than if it were almost any other wrestler. Because of what his character is, unless he comes back as, you know, NWO Hogan or something, but they're not going to do that. Same thing with, not same thing, but I'll extend the analogy to Bayley. She's this wholesome, innocent, woman with a moral compass who grew up watching WWE. I loved her line that my year didn't end in December and start in January. It began and ended with WrestleMania. She should care about how she wins. She should be the wrestler who at her fingertips knows which championship reigns were honorable, in which ones began and continued without honor. That should be her character. Almost to part of the charm of her is being a nerd, you know, like it being so caring so much about that. So this week she did, but it was a mess because last week she didn't. In fact, last night on Raw Talk, she didn't care. She was with Sasha Banks, smiling, laughing, yucking it up because they were both victorious. And suddenly now she's not. And so it is a bit of a mess. Now, all that said, let's remember where we came from a couple years ago. We have, you know, fans caring about live reports where the crowd wasn't all that into Sasha and Bayley because they didn't have a heel in the match. And I think everyone was just waiting for Charlotte and Dana to interfere. But nevertheless, I mean, they have a women's segment that's going to be a significant part of WrestleMania. It's getting significant time. It's doing well enough. Mm-hmm. They're putting it in anchor segments at the top of each hour or at the end of the show. So, I mean, all isn't lost, but yeah. I mean, there's a number of aspects of this that should have been done better. And Bayley is an easy character to do. And they've been messing her up. I think they can redeem it and fix it a certain amount, but it's too bad that they made it as complicated as they did.
Yeah, I agree with you, Wade, 100%. I just had two more quick things, and I'll let other callers get in.
Sure.
The Aries Neville segment, I love that. That was great.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for Austin to get going for so long, so it's cool to kind of see him, you know, get rocking in his babyface role. So that was cool. And then
that orbital bone injury looks like it's going to be there forever. I mean, he looks different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. I was surprised too.
Yeah.
the last segment, I'm with you. I mean, Roman, his one line was good. I mean, I'll give him credit. It was good. It was very good.
Yep.
But I mean, they've got to turn him heel. It's so bad. I mean, the boos were just awful. The Roman sucks chants were awful, and Undertaker was great in what he did. I mean, just the pop he gets is unbelievable. And, I thought the segment was good. I mean, the way Braun showed, I thought it was reverence almost, in my opinion, you know, just like, I better just get out of here. It's his segment. Let him go for whatever is going to happen. But, I just want to know what you thought, you know, but I if they don't turn him heel, I just think it's a major, major disaster, and it's going to be awful after WrestleMania. But that's all I had, Wade. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Sean, thanks. Appreciate you giving your thoughts on those and throwing out those topics. Good stuff. I mean, the Roman Reigns, should they turn him heel? I mean, Vince wants to get Roman over as a star. He isn't particularly preoccupied right now with whether he is a heel or a face. Having Braun Strowman say Chicago hates you or doesn't like you, you know, acknowledging that shows that, I mean, that's not improvising. I can't imagine. Well, if it is, we'll find out and he'll be in trouble. But I think that line was authorized, and it's just acknowledging the obvious. But I mean, obviously the crowd is going to boo Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I mean, I say obviously. I mean, I think it's very, very likely. And I don't think Vince McMahon cares at this point. I think that he is thinking Roman being in the ring against Undertaker will help Roman become a bigger star. And the performance, whatever happens, Vince thinks will make Roman a bigger star. I think the intent is for Roman to be a babyface after Mania, but if not, I mean, he'll become a bigger star because he was, even if he turns heel, because he took on Undertaker. Obviously, the crowd is booing Reigns, so whether they have turned him officially or not, they've put him in a position to be booed, not cheered, but at least he's being booed against somebody who everybody would go, well, no wonder he's getting booed because it's under freaking Taker. And so it doesn't make Roman look as bad. You know, it's so in that sense, there's a little bit of a consolation for Roman. It's not like they hate him, they just love Taker. That can be what he you know, banks on. All right, let's keep going through calls. Up next, Scott from New York City. Scott, thanks for calling. What have you got for me tonight?
Hey, Wade, how's it going?
Going well.
Yeah, okay. I mean, first off, just a quick shout. Corey Graves was awesome tonight. I love that he compared Enzo and Cass to the Cubs and Sox. If the Cubs, I mean, Cass, if he ever wins the championship, might take 100 years. If Enzo ever wins the championship, you know there's a scandal involved. Great line. I don't know, man. As far as the closing segment, I'm a little burned out. I'm going to be in the vocal minority, but I'm a little burned out on Taker. I just feel like, you know what I mean? It's kind of, I just didn't want this feud to be built on, oh, I'm the big dog. I respect you, but I'm the big dog now. You know what I mean? Like, this was the perfect time for the turn. I guess it still could happen, but, you know, 5% of me thought, like, if it was going to happen, it would be kind of tonight to start this feud, but I guess there's very little hope for that now. But my main point...
I wouldn't rule it out, but, I mean, I think they're just going to sell it on two iconic names, you know, arguing over whose yard it is now, and they think they can sell it on that. But, I mean, it could take a heelish tinge. Roman could take a heelish tinge on the microphone in the next few weeks if Vince wants to, you know, add some fuel to the heat that Roman has with, you know, certain fan base.
No, you're right. But I mean, the saddest thing about this and last night, everything, it's just blatantly obvious now when we're, you know, after Fastlane and after Raw, that basically their plan was to build up strong, Braun as strong as they did just to get Reigns over. I mean, that was the plan and it worked because I bet you Braun got over way more and improved way more than they even thought. And he was just used as a vehicle to get Roman over. And as bad as that is, and a lot of people don't like it, myself included, I think that's just a fact. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I don't think Vince anticipated Roman being Braun Strowman getting over and improving like he did. But I also don't know that Braun Strowman getting over was enough for Vince to abandon his plan. And I mean, it'll seem kind of unpopular to say this, but with, you know, some listeners, but Vince is not going to go, well, Braun Strowman's got over more, so now I'm going to not have Roman go over as he heads to WrestleMania to take on Undertaker. And then, as Bruce Mitchell's been saying for weeks, and then after that beat Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship, Vince has this game plan. And I think it's a unexpected, unintended bonus that Braun Strowman is over as much as he is, but I don't blame Vince if he has a plan and he's set on going forward with it. That I don't think Braun Strowman getting over like he has is reason enough to abandon it. We can take an issue with the plan and say Roman should have been turned, he should be pushing somebody else. We can make all those arguments, but I just don't think very specifically Braun getting over should be the reason that Vince abandons the course that he's set on with Roman. So, I mean, that's where I am. I mean, but yeah, Braun was meant to be built up for Roman to beat. And that was probably in Vince's mind 6 months ago. So in a way I kind of, you know, applaud him for sticking to his guns and sticking to his plan, at least when it comes to, not kind of getting wishy-washy with Braun and just giving us what he gave us last night.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then, my final 2 points, the first one is, looks like there's going to be no multi-man ladder match, which seems weird because you want to get everyone on the card, but with the cruiserweights looking like it might be one-on-one, I can't find a spot for that match. And then the second thing I'll just throw out at you is, a lot of talk. I remember last week you were talking, you know, does the Universal title match need Goldberg Lesnar, you know, or does, you know, Lesnar Goldberg need the belt? I'll use the same theory, but in a different match. I don't think Jericho Owens needs the U.S. title at all, but I think it's great for the title itself because there's nothing more devalued than the U.S. title. So that match is great for that title. I think it will bring something a little bit to it because right now it's just been, even on Jericho, I mean, it's nothing. So I think that's good for the title. But disappointing no ladder match does happen because I think last year was the best match on the card. So, yeah, that's all I got for this week, and look forward to the rest of the show. Thanks, Wade.
Good stuff. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go ahead and go to the second break of the show. When we come back, more phone calls. I do want to remind you, if you're not a VIP member, this is a great time of year to become a VIP member. When you go VIP, all the live casts are on an RSS feed just for VIP members, and those live casts are edited so that almost all the plugs and commercials are excluded. So it's just a streamlined, sound-optimized version of this show for VIP members. And that's not even the half of it. There are 1, 2, or 3 other shows just about every single day that are VIP exclusive. The every single day Wade Keller Hotline. I've done it every day for close to 7 years without one day off, covering the news, answering VIP member questions in depth on a real eclectic mix of topics, sometimes current events, sometimes not. And also reviewing Raw in detail and SmackDown in detail, which is one of the most popular VIP audio shows for people who either watch Raw and want to hear what I have to say about it that night or the next morning, or they just don't see all of Raw or any of Raw, and it's their way of keeping up on the product with really detailed rundowns of the show and a lot of commentary mixed in. The Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, The Fix with Todd Martin, post-pay-per-view roundtables, the East Coast Cast VIP bonus show, the VIP after shows that follow several editions of the PW Torch livecast throughout the month, the Sean Radican audio community, where he and most often Brian Leahy discuss the non-WWE topics of the week, ROH, New Japan, DVD reviews, indie notes. Those shows go up every week or two or three. It's not on a real set schedule. And the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, calling the action and the segments on old pay-per-views in real time. So you can follow along on your own laptop, on your own screen, whatever it is, TV or screen, watching an old pay-per-view or a Clash of Champions special. And they provide real-time commentary, providing insight into what was going on at that time, along with just quips. Just, it's like having friends hanging out with you, you know, making fun of the bad stuff and celebrating the good stuff. Every Sunday, that goes up. Plus, every Thursday night, a new retro radio show from the 1990s. John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show most often goes up on Thursday nights with big-name interviews, big-name journalist guests analyzing the business. I'm often a guest on that show, breaking down the latest news with John Arezzi and live callers and Donnie Leibel's news updates and much more. It's a really fascinating VIP exclusive that we have. Hundreds and hundreds of these Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows are exclusively available to VIP members. They haven't been heard since they went on the air originally in New York in the early 90s. So much audio comes with a VIP membership, but that's not to forget about the newsletters. The weekly PW Torch newsletter goes up in PDF and alt text format with exclusive features, my cover story, my end notes editorials on the back page, columns from Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant and Greg Parks, pay-per-view roundtable reviews that are VIP exclusive, plus the weekend news, results, pay-per-view reports, Raw and SmackDown reports, and more. And every Saturday morning, a 20 years ago back issue goes up. And they are fascinating. Back in the heart of the Monday Night War era, before the internet websites took off, before there were podcasts everywhere you turned, the way to find out what was going on behind the scenes in pro wrestling was a Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, among a few other sources. But the Torch did it well. And it is fascinating immersing yourself in real-time coverage of not just Raw versus SmackDown, but also the rise of ECW. And we did great Torch Talks. I mean, we had really big names, really dish details on what was going on behind the scenes at a time when there weren't podcasts. And it wasn't very often that you could get a wrestler or promoter talking about the behind-the-scenes aspect of the business. So if you're not a VIP member but you enjoy this show, this is a good time to go VIP because you'll get our WrestleMania coverage, including access to our history of WrestleMania roundtables. Bruce Mitchell, Pat McNeil, and I have recorded audio specials on reviewing past WrestleManias. And we've done this for a number of years. And in fact, we have in-depth new recordings that we started in 2006 of past WrestleManias, 1 through 15. So all WrestleManias 1 through 15, we have audio shows that last 62 minutes, 81 minutes, 62 minutes, 66 minutes, 78 minutes, 60 minutes, 80 minutes, 73. So each of them are like, you know, an hour to an hour and a half in length, going in depth on these WrestleManias with the hindsight 2020 aspect, where we kick in a perspective from what we thought at the time, but also what we've learned since about those shows. So the first 15 WrestleManias plus gain access right away to WrestleManias 21 through 32. When we started the VIP website back in 2005, we got the WrestleMania roundtables for the last 11 or 12 WrestleMania. So with some of the gaps being filled in too over time between those. So anyway, I could go on and on. Add for access to our website, add for access to our mobile site. It is a great site, unmatched in terms of archives and insider library, audio, newsletters, articles. Check it out. Go VIP. How do you do it? Go to pwtorch.com/govip. That is pwtorch.com/govip. And you can read testimonials on that page from current VIP members telling why they pay to get all the added content that comes with the VIP membership. And that does include, by the way, Travis Bryant, Bruce Mitchell, and I doing the Fastlane post-event pay-per-view roundtable, over an hour of analysis that we recorded right after the pay-per-view ended last night, put it up exclusively for VIP members. And that will also include the same thing coming up in a month for WrestleMania. All right. We're back, and it's time for phone calls. So let's continue on, and let's go to Keith from Virginia up next. Keith, thanks for holding patiently. What have you got for me tonight?
Hey, Wade, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing well.
I had a couple points. As far as Roman Reigns and The Undertaker, I know you discussed it a little earlier. What do you make of them not even really mentioning what The Undertaker's issue with Roman was? I mean, they didn't even mention how Roman eliminated The Undertaker from the Royal Rumble.
I tell you what, let me tell you real quick on that. I think that was smart, and here's why. The announcers didn't talk, and I like that. I agree, but we've got a month for them to catch us up, catch up people on that and explain it. But I like that Michael Cole didn't really say anything until he exclaimed, I think it was chokeslam late in the segment. It made everything focused on the two wrestlers in the ring. I like that the announcer stepped aside. That said, I agree with you that it subtracted a little in the sense that they didn't reset the table. They didn't say why, but I think the announcers talking over the tension and that moment would have done more negative than bringing up why Undertaker had an issue with Roman did positive. But I'm with you. I mean, some people are going, what's going on here? Why didn't Undertaker come out? Is his issue with Strowman? It almost was like Reigns was upset with Undertaker for coming out, as opposed to the story being Undertaker came out to the ring looking for Roman. I think they'll clear that up next week without too much damage. I get why you bring that up. I thought that too. And I'm at peace with why they did it, with what they did because of the reasons that they did it.
Yeah, that actually, that makes sense. You were saying earlier that, Vince probably doesn't care that Roman gets booed. He just wants, Roman to rub elbows with The Undertaker. But from here until WrestleMania, Roman is probably the boos are going to start, kind of ramping back up, and it's probably just going to get worse and worse. So do you think, even if he's trying to have it be a face versus face matchup, do you think the natural trajectory of the angle is going to start maybe tilting Roman in a heel direction to where Vince will feel like, okay, maybe it's okay if I start, making Roman more heelish because that's, you know what I mean? Like,
I think Vince has in his mind everything mapped out for what's going to happen between now and Mania, at Mania, the day after Mania, and if Bruce Mitchell is correct, Roman beating Brock Lesnar or Goldberg, but probably Brock Lesnar for the championship after Mania. I think he's got that all mapped out, and I think he knows how he's going to do it. Now, the question is, does the crowd reaction and how Reigns handles it chip away at Vince's resistance to just embracing going with Roman as a heel? And I don't think that Vince will change what he does and officially turn him between now and Mania or right afterwards, but I think it could, like I say, chip away at Vince's resistance to it, to the point that he then is more willing to change. But again, he's got to have a baby face that he feels he can build around and trust to be in that spot, if not for Roman. And that's a challenge. I don't think he's going to build around Braun Strowman as his lead baby face. Samoa Joe is a top heel right now. Chris Jericho is fine. I mean, obviously, but he's in his late 40s. He's not a guy you build around. So, Seth Rollins, I mean, he's probably going to come back fine at Mania or shortly thereafter and be good. But he was, not great as a lead baby. So I think just Vince looks at the roster and he's like, okay, Roman's getting booed a lot of places, but he's getting cheered a lot of places. And I think I can get him over by making him a star like Cena, put him in the spotlight, have him not wilt, but look like he belongs, have him try to own the room, figure out his voice and hold court with Taker, beat him, hold court with Lesnar, beat him. And however the fans react, I've got a star who looks the part, and that's where Vince is. But if somebody presents themselves as a breakout lead babyface, and I mean, Shinsuke is deep into his 30s and has limited promo skill and a promotion that leans heavily on long mic work, you know, long promos from its top stars. Reigns is an exception because he's not very good at long promos, as is Goldberg right now. I think Vince wants to have a lead babyface who can talk some more, not take a step backward with Shinsuke. So I just don't know if I see Vince looking at that roster going, I'm going to turn Roman heel because I'm confident with somebody else taking his place as my centerpiece babyface act. I just don't know that he's got a comfort level yet, even with reshuffling the card. I mean, if he does a draft and moves AJ to Raw as a lead babyface, and, you know, I mean, you can reshuffle things and make your case, but I don't think you can make a case for Roman going heel without also making a case for who should be the lead babyface. And with what they've done with Kevin Owens tonight and in the last couple of weeks, I think they're, you know, 6 to 18 months away from even considering turning Owens, because I just don't think you want to turn Owens babyface after having him, you know, turn on Jericho like he did. So I think we got to sort of resign yourself to the course they're on, but hope that Reigns shows that he can be effective reacting to boos in a way that Vince says, I can make money with that. But again, he's got to find that lead babyface to take Reigns' place.
And just one more. It's sure. More of a comment than anything. I may be in the minority. I don't really know, but I have never been able to stand heel commentators. I don't get it. I've never liked it. I always admired the Brain, you know, as a personality. But I just don't get the concept. I find it horribly annoying. It's like watching wrestling with, Sean Hannity sitting there telling me the exact opposite of what I'm seeing. That's something that I would love to see go away permanently. But anyway, that's just a thought.
Well, all right. I appreciate it, Keith. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah. Someone put Corey Graves over, a caller earlier, and now we got a caller saying, just do away with heel commentators. I mean, I think heel commentators can be done well. I think it can be done poorly. I think what makes heel commentators less annoying is when you have a strong personality offsetting their comments. And David Otunga has shown glimpses of that. Byron Saxton is earnest, but not particularly effective or forceful, usually. And he's been turned into such a joke, a butt of jokes, that it's hard to sometimes take anything he says seriously. But I mean, I get where you're coming from, Keith. All right, let's go to area code 314. 314, you are up now. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, how you doing, Wade? This is Damian from St. Louis.
Hey, Damian, thanks for calling. What have you got for me tonight?
Well, just going on that last segment, I really do believe that based on how it panned out, they're going for Roman versus Undertaker at WrestleMania. And I'm sure he still has his issues with Braun Strowman, but I'm sure that whatever issues Strowman and Roman gonna have, they're gonna work it out on Raw much rather than Mania. Because a lot of people have been saying that perhaps this could end up being a triple threat match between Braun, Roman, and Undertaker. But I really don't see that happening because, as you've been talking about, you know, Vince wants to make Roman a star, and the best way to do it is to have him face Undertaker without no third party being involved. Now, am I correct in my assessment that that's what they are going for, or do you have another idea of how this may pan out?
I think it is what you say. I don't think there's another route they're going to take.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right.
In that case, I think that's probably might be for the best. I mean, I just want people to understand that I have no ill will towards Roman, you know. I mean, it's kind of unfortunate that he gets put in this position, almost like how John Cena was for many years, where some people hate him, some people love him. But, you know, like you've been saying, Vince just wants to make a star out of Roman. And, you know, despite all that Roman's been going through, he's been putting in the work. So it'll be really interesting to see how this will play out between him and Undertaker. Another thing that I wanted to touch on too is the crowd tonight in Chicago. I mean, that was hot for very good segments, but they really annoyed the crap out of me because of the fact that once again, you're continuing to chant for a guy that has moved on and has shown that he is never coming back. And I'm talking about, of course, CM Punk. Even Stephanie once again saw it upon herself to try to shut down those chants during that whole women's segment tonight. I mean, and it's to that point where it's getting kind of detrimental. You know, it's lessening my enjoyment of the product to have people continuously chanting this guy's name, even though he, I mean, is it, what is it? Is it the hope that he still want to come back? The whole never say never idea? What is it? Help me, Wade.
I wouldn't say it's never say never, but I think it's a deep, deep appreciation for and respect for what they believe CM Punk stood for as a wrestling act on television and as a person. It sure helps that Punk is a huge Chicago Blackhawks fan, and that's a Chicago Blackhawks town. And it also is, in part, you got this Roman Reigns character who's getting a major push. And I bet, I don't know what percentage of fans in that building heard CM Punk's podcast with Colt Cabana, but I bet it's above 50%. And certainly just about everybody there's aware that Punk said in his last months in the company, last weeks in the company, Punk, we need you to make Roman look good. And that Roman is being groomed for the spot that fans felt Punk deserved. And they aren't going to stop letting management know until Roman Reigns is gone, and that's not happening, or he's a heel, that they think they made a mistake not committing and building around CM Punk. I mean, that's what they're doing. And it's part of it just to upset what's going on. Of course, that's part of their motivation, is to take joy in throwing things off. I think Goldberg was going to reveal some deep, dark secret to us, something he had never said to anybody before. And then the crowd started chanting CM Punk. Goldberg nodded. I could just see Vince backstage panicking, going, oh, God, don't leave script, Goldberg. What's he going to say? Paul, cue Paul's music. You know, go out early. And because even Goldberg seemed surprised by that, but he just wanted to cut it off. Stephanie McMahon power talked her way through the CM Punk chat. I mean, she was not going to pause. She was going to talk, commas, no periods, no paragraph breaks, and talk her way right through it, trying to get the fans to not, you know, seem like they're getting under her skin and not have any pauses in between what she was saying like normal. I mean, they find a way to adjust. Here's the thing. As annoying as it might be sometimes when the crowd seems to want to make a statement about something that isn't what's going on in the ring, that's absolutely their right to do so. They're paying their tickets. They're paying for tickets. And WWE has said, you know, their focus groups are these live crowds. They have the right to do it. We have the right to judge it and maybe think they're not cool, or they're going too far, or it's a little much, or it's old. I mean, I'm certainly critical of certain things crowds do, but they have the right to do it, and WWE ought to listen. And the side effect, the positive side effect, is that there's an energy when they go to Chicago, and an unpredictability that is fun, even if there's times where you might be chuckling, but you're also kind of annoyed because it's taking you out of the moment. You know, freaking Goldberg standing in the ring, and instead of just soaking up the moment and seeing where things go, yeah, there's 10,000 people trying to throw him off with a CM Punk chant. But WWE can avoid this by, when they get somebody like Punk, you know, treating him the way that the majority of fans, at least in that market and probably around the country, wanted him to be treated. And I don't think the fans need to just accept what WWE feeds them. I have mixed feelings because I admire them speaking out and not just going away because Stephanie mocked Punk being a loser. So, yeah, I mean, you can talk, kind of mixed feelings about it. I like when I see Chicago come up on the screen when they're doing a TV or pay-per-view. I know it's going to be an interesting night, but I also get, you know, what you're saying is sometimes it can be annoying when they're just stepping on the segments that we're all there to watch. It's like somebody talking in the middle of a movie. Sometimes you just want to be in that universe and not be reminded of something else. Damian, I appreciate the call. Any closing comments?
Yeah, I just want to say real fast, and I'm with you about the whole, you know, fans, they pay for their tickets. They have a right to do what they want. But at the same time, it's like, and it's not just the whole Punk chant. It's also these assorted chants, the This Is Awesome chant, 10 minutes into a match, the What chant. It just seems like fans have gotten out of control with wanting to take over, let their voice be heard. Oh, of course, don't forget the 10 chants whenever a referee does a count out. But I'm just saying, it's just gotten out of control, and I feel like fans just need to have a little bit more of a decorum on how they should be able to behave while they're watching a wrestling show. But what do I know? But other than that, thank you, Wade. Have a good night. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Damian. Appreciate it. All right, we had a big UFC show on Saturday night, a little less big, with one of the top two matches not taking place. We got full details on why, everything going on there. The latest between, I was going to say CM Punk, the latest between Michael Bisping and George St. Pierre at their press conference. And we got daily trivia, roundtables on hot topics. And we'll have, well, you can read our coverage from Saturday night's event and the fallout. We got an article up today, Fights to Make Next, based on winners and losers at UFC 209. Here's some details on our sister brand. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. Somebody emailed during the show here and asked, it's actually Gavin. He says, what match goes on last, Goldberg versus Lesnar or Undertaker versus Roman Reigns? Well, what if it's Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt? And I say that seriously, assuming that Randy beats AJ on SmackDown and takes on Bray. I wouldn't be shocked. And the reason I say that is Goldberg Lesnar is the main event of the show because the title's on the line. It's two part-timers. It's epic based on what happened at the Rumble, what happened at Survivor Series, what happened tonight. But it's going to be short. I mean, Goldberg, I mean, look at how much he was sweating just in that promo. I just don't think they have trust for Goldberg at age 50. I mean, the guy was never, he was far from a ring general. Goldberg was successful, and there's a lot I admire about Bill, but he was about as ill-equipped to be a main event wrestler in terms of ring work, ring experience, even ring instincts as anybody. He you know, came out of the power plant, got over unexpectedly, had an instinct for some things that really matter and that are important to the business and that you take advantage of when somebody exhibits the instinct and the charisma that he did. But when the bell rang, unless he was doing something very, very rote, it was always a little risky. he's had a few moments. DDP and I talked about it on Thursday, but I just don't know that you want to end WrestleMania with, 5 minute the whole thing with ring introductions and all the pre-match stuff will probably take longer than the match. Maybe not. Maybe they work out this masterful match. They're practicing in a wrestling ring, working it out. And they're going to have this, they're going to shock us with a 22 minute classic or a 12 minute. Wow. I can't believe it lasted that long. Maybe. But my hunch is it probably goes pretty short. So you could do Randy and Bray at the end. However, I wouldn't vote for that. I'm just saying maybe because it's the WWE Championship match, and I think they might want to put that on last. I think once Lesnar Goldberg happens, people are going to feel like the main event has happened, especially if Roman and Undertaker already happened. So they could end with Roman Taker, and I wouldn't rule that out. I'm curious what the it's one of those kind of subplots to WrestleMania every year. What is the match order? Sometimes it has to do with what are the finishes. Vince wants a happy ending. Is Goldberg losing to Lesnar a happy ending? Is Reigns beating Taker going to lead to people throwing garbage in the ring and booing if Reigns wins? Or do you have Taker win and then turn heel and attack Undertaker? You have to consider when you think of match order, what is the outcome to the match? Because I think Vince, it doesn't always work out, but I think Vince considers and leans towards wanting people leaving the building happy. He wants them to leave with a hometown scoring that goal in overtime in game 7 of the Stanley Cup. He wants the fans happy and celebrating, not disgruntled, especially at WrestleMania. So that's going to play into it. If Randy's a babyface and Bray's the heel and Randy is going to beat Bray and stand tall at the end of WrestleMania, maybe that's the match Vince chooses. And then Taker Reigns takes place mid-show. They put a couple other matches out there to bring the crowd down. They do Goldberg-Lesnar. Crowd is electric immediately. They bring Bray and take Bray and Orton out to have more of a full fledged match. I don't know. I'm intrigued. I'm very curious to see what happens. Good topic, Gavin, and we'll bring that up to different co-hosts in coming weeks and guests on the program. Jim Ross, I'll talk to him on Thursday. Maybe I'll remember to ask him about this. And Sam Roberts and I can talk about it Wednesday too. Our next caller, Chris from Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for holding, Chris. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I was actually, I was watching Raw tonight, and I'm still kind of baffled about the whole Fastlane thing that happened last night with all the little undefeated streaks ending last night. But as far as Roman and Taker goes, you know, there's part of me that wants, you know, to have it as a one-on-one Roman versus Taker. But as the caller mentioned from before, I almost also see this going to a triple threat, almost to protect Taker's health.
Right.
You know, Fastlane last night, Roman and Braun put on a great match. And, you know, Braun is a pretty fast-moving guy, and, you know, for his size. And the match still seemed to have kind of a slow pace to me. And you got to think, if Roman is going in there one-on-one with Taker, that match is not going to be, you know, like 2012, the end of an era match, or really any match. You know, you could almost probably put it up there with Taker's WrestleMania 30 match with Lesnar, but I don't think it will be a fast-paced match at all if they decide to do a one-on-one.
Well, no, I don't mean to be dismissive of the notion and the possibility of a triple threat with Taker for the reasons you bring up, Chris. I think in the end they're going to trust Roman and Taker to through bells and whistles and smoke and mirrors, have that epic one-on-one match. I think that Taker, from a pride standpoint, would not want anything but a one-on-one match. I think it would be an admission that maybe he stayed around a year too long if he's, you know, out there with two other people in the match to help carry things. But maybe that's the reality of what has to happen. You know, there's a payday. There's, you know, fans want to see him in the ring. And if it's no match or a triple threat, I mean, I could see that. And that keeps Braun in the mix. Oh, Braun Strowman is special referee. I mean, they could do something like that too. People want to know what's Braun's role. They want him in a significant spot other than winning an Andre Battle Royal or something. Maybe they just say the only man who can control these two is Braun. And that's an X factor in the match that leads to something. So, I mean, as much as it's sort of, quote, predictable what is going to happen at Mania from a matchup standpoint, and a lot of things are kind of falling into places, rumored and as forecast, there's still a lot that we don't know in terms of how all this plays out. And I don't know, that's another interesting topic to bring up with Sam Roberts Wednesday and Jim Ross on Thursday, get their take on the possibility of where Braun might fit in and how Undertaker might feel if it were a triple threat. But, you know, if they have to do it, they'll do it. I don't think that they'd do it because they think it's a great idea. I think they would only do that if they felt that Taker's just physically probably not able to be relied upon to fill a full-fledged match with Roman.
Yeah. And then one more question I had about tonight's Raw was about the women's division, how they're shaping up Mania for the women's title. You know, a lot of people are looking at it and they're just like, well, you know, it's the same thing as last year, except for it's Becky. Instead of Becky, it's Sasha, or not Sasha, Bailey. And I'm kind of thinking that Nia Jax is somehow going to be thrown into the mix. You know, I'd want to see that, but at the same token, I don't know. They're kind of being, you know, cruel towards Nia Jax last night on Fastlane, especially during the Raw talk. You know, they were, Lawler was kind of making like tasteless jokes here and there, but you know, there was that, and I was kind of like, well, does Nia have like, you know, heat on her, or you know, what's the deal? But what do you think the women's division is shaping up to be like for Mania?
I think Nia Jax is, if once things get sorted out next week, I think Nia Jax is going to make her case. And I mean, I haven't thought it all. I haven't like booked it out in my head about, you know, what are the best options if they try to make it a fatal four way. But if Charlotte complains that as much as she doesn't think Sasha's out to get Bailey, she doesn't like that it's going to be a 2-on-1, and somehow, you know, it seems like she's asking for Dana to be in the match, but it turns out then that Mick Foley listens and says, oh, okay, well, we'll add Nia Jax. She's got some significant wins. She's in title contention, and Charlotte kind of freaks out at that because that's not what she was looking for, or she embraces it because she thinks Nia's on her side. I mean, there's ways to do that, and we got a month to go, so I wouldn't rule that out either. I think they've invested enough in Nia Jax. I wouldn't put it – I mean, I wouldn't completely discount what's said on Raw Talk, but I think some of Jerry Lawler just riffing, trying to be controversial and trying to, you know, play to the spirit of what talking smack has become a little bit. And, you know, maybe he's being fed some of those lines too, just because it's a smaller audience and Vince is a bully, and they think that it's funny to do, even if it's a small segment of the audience seeing it.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just something about it. I was like, man, that, you know, what Lawler was saying, it was, I don't know, it was just kind of tasteless, and I didn't really care for it that much. Cause I was like, it's like, look, you know, you want to build up Nia Jax to be like, you know, not necessarily the Braun Strowman of the women's division, but you want to build her to be a powerhouse. And I don't know, it just kind of seemed like it was almost like burying, you know, just with what he was saying, and then the finish to last night's match at Fastlane, and then not seeing her on Raw tonight. So,
yeah, we'll see. I mean, if there's a story, you know, there's a story there. If they are actually, you know, kind of burying her and turning on her, I'm not against her being in that match. I think she's been a significant part of the women's scene, and I think you can tell a decent story.
Absolutely.
And part of me kind of likes four ways better than three ways. I like one on one the best. But three ways, you have the awkwardness of either a 2-on-1 attack with two baby faces against a heel, which is bad, or one of them having to take a nap at ringside while the others battle. So you add now Jax to the mix, and now, you know, it solves some of the issues that the triple threat have. Assuming they do triple threat, and, you know, who knows where they go for sure in the next month. I mean, they could do an injury angle or something else. So, but I think that's where they're headed. So, all right, Chris, thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Great talking to you.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, let's try to get to Harvey in Chicago. Hope your cell phone is holding up. Just saw your email. Harvey, were you at the show tonight?
Yes, I was.
All right, cool. How was it? Tell us what we might not have noticed by watching on TV, especially if you've been listening to the show tonight here.
It was probably the loudest and the quietest I've ever heard Chicago.
It came across that
CM
way.
Punk
both.
Chant.
Yeah.
That CM Punk chant during the women's segment was... it was deafening, but during the cruiserweights, like, it was awkward. It was so quiet. Like, I felt uncomfortable sitting in the crowd.
Wow. They liked Austin Aries.
Yeah, no, that was really exciting. Everyone was really into that. It's been a long time coming, so everyone was super... it was like the high points were super high. This is my third Raw, so it was super high, but, like, compared... to last time, it just felt like the lows were really, really low, and people got really restless. So that's probably
anything,
why I've got some CM Punk champ. Go ahead.
Did anything surprise you in terms of the crowd reaction to anybody or anything in particular?
Yeah. Before Raw started, they always have the like commercials on the TitanTron, and even before the show started, everyone was booing Goldberg. And I knew there'd be, like, some people would be upset, but it was so loud. Like, they were really upset with Goldberg. So when he came out and he got the CM Punk chance, like, I wasn't surprised at that point because he had popped up on the screen, like, two or three times and people were laying into him, just his image.
Wow. And does that – why do you think that was?
I'd have to assume Kevin Owens. I have no clue. I mean when he was coming to the ring – when he was coming to the ring, everyone was chanting Goldberg, but once he arrived, not pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. What, anything happened before the show or after the show in terms of dark matches or post-Raw segments of note?
Well, I guess, main event spoilers, Jinder Mahal versus Curtis Axel, Jinder won, and then there was a cruiserweight tag, Mustafa Ali and, Gallagher versus Nice and someone else who I forgot.
Okay.
Baby faces went over in that one.
How was Gallagher? Was Gallagher over?
Yeah, but it was really quiet. Like all the cruiserweight segments were really, really quiet.
Yeah. Anything after Raw went off the air? If the closing scene, you know, last we saw was Undertaker just holding his arm up.
Roman kind of like leaned on the turnbuckle and looked kind of like disappointed, but that was it. Backlash okay. will be back in Chicago after Mania. So.
All right. Yeah. That. Well. God. Yeah. That's gonna be.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I mean, anything else you want to add besides the in-person perspective? Just thoughts on what they did.
Well, I mean, keeping Stephanie off TV. I know everyone always harps on it, but bringing her out in Chicago always seems like they want CM Punk chance. Like she will get CM Punk chance, and they bring her out every time in Chicago. It's weird. It feels like they're doing it on purpose at this point, because like every time in Chicago they bring her out. And they know it's going to happen. So
I think Stephanie enjoys it. I don't think Stephanie is genuinely annoyed. I think there's probably another adjective for it other than annoyed. But I think she enjoys the challenge of a crowd and neutralizing them. And I think she kind of takes some joy in that. But I think if they had their way, they wouldn't ever hear a CM Punk chant again. But I think when they go to Chicago, they know it's going to happen. And Stephanie, I think, enjoys stepping up and facing it and trying to shut the fans down and getting to call them losers and all of that kind of thing. But what I thought was interesting is Triple H in that video segment talking about how WWE treats their athletes so great. You know, our rehabilitation, it's the best doctor. And they're in Chicago, the crowd's chanting CM Punk. Punk had expressed dismay with how he was treated and that he felt his health was disregarded and symptoms were there of concussion issues. And so I wonder if they would have said that if they were not in Chicago or if the situation with Punk had never happened. It felt a little weird and out of character for the heel Triple H character just to put over Punk's rehab treatment that WWE is paying for so heavily. If it wasn't that, I feel like there's some other ulterior inspiration for that. Harvey, anything else?
Yeah. No, that was it.
All right, cool. Appreciate you calling. Always good to get somebody who's at the show. Call again. All right, that is Harvey, who is in Chicago for tonight's program. One more break, and then we'll come back and finish up with more calls. So if you can hold on, if you're on hold and can hold on, please do. Here is our final break of the show. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
Do you love wrestling? Check out one of the hottest shows, Ring Rust Radio, breaking down WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, NXT, Lucha Underground, TNA, New Japan, and Indie Wrestling. The boys of Ring Rust Radio also interview some of the biggest names in wrestling, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, AJ Styles, John Cena, Roman Reigns, and many more. If you love the PW Torch livecast and you'd like to have fun, check out Ring Rust Radio. Find us on ringrustradio.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ring Rust Radio and email the show, ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
All right, I'm back for the final segment here of the PW Torch livecast. Don't forget to check out pwtorch.com every day for the latest breaking news, TV reports, pay-per-view reports, special features, and so much more. Joey Galizia will have his SmackDown primer midday tomorrow to catch you up on what happened last week and forecast what might happen or what is scheduled to happen on Tuesday's episode of SmackDown. Back to the phone lines we go. Let's go to Naveen in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Naveen, thanks for calling again. What have you got for me tonight?
How's it going, Red? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Yes, awesome, awesome. So just wanted to add to the previous caller. I drove to Chicago as well. I heard about Undertaker possibly showing up, so I didn't want to miss it. So just to add to the previous caller, what was really surprising was that there were very, very few signs from the audience. I don't know what it looked like on TV, but I sat in the cheap ticket section across from the stage, and there were barely any signs. Like, I was pretty surprised. And End Zone Cass, I think, got the biggest pop of the night. I don't know, at least from my section. So how did I wanted to ask? I remember like there were CM Punk chants during Goldberg, and he said something I couldn't hear. How do you think he handled it? He said something weird. I mean, he sounded like he was flustered and said, mumbled something.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was. I'm always kind of a little on edge when Goldberg has a microphone. I'm always a little worried it's not going to go well. He's going to lose his train of thought or something like that. I mean, the crowd very early on was, getting on him. And I'm not sure if that rattled him or not. But he did say, I stand before you, a very humbled man. I couldn't be here without you. You know, his supporters cheered louder, even as there were some boos. You know, I mean, there were some fans who were like, no, I'm not going to boo this guy. I'm going to cheer louder because of him. So it was interesting kind of hearing the different parts of the crowd do what they did. But that CM Punk chant was loud, and he just goes, yeah. He nodded to the beat of it and goes, yeah, I hear that. And then it was right away Paul Heyman came out. And Goldberg had teased that he was going to reveal something that he had never said before, and he never got around to it. So I don't know if that'll be something we wonder about forever, or he addresses it on another episode of Raw or something. But I know I'm kind of wondering what he was going to say had Heyman not interrupted him. Maybe Heyman's interruption was planned all along, and they just that was meant to drive us a little little nuts. But I doubt it.
And I was sitting across from the section in the top, across from the stage. Just a note to like other fans that might show up during the WrestleMania season. So I could barely see the Titantron because the stupid WrestleMania sign totally obstructed the view of the Titantron.
Wow. Yeah.
Just a note on that one. And the main reason for showing up was Undertaker, and that entrance was just magical. I had like goosebumps, and it was just amazing. I don't know if Chicago crowd expected it, because couple of people, started leaving, and I had to let one of the fans know that Taker might show up. And how did it come across? Did they sound genuinely surprised that he showed up, or was it like a normal, amazing reaction to Taker?
It was a big reaction, but I would say on TV it did not sound like the crowd was not. I don't think they were chanting Undertaker before he showed up. So, unless I missed it, I don't think they were chanting Undertaker before he showed up. So I think if the fans were expecting him, they would have been chanting for that. And instead, I think they were still doing CM Punk. I think that they were I think that they were very much into Undertaker showing up. I mean, it came across as a pop of reverence for a mega star who they were glad was there. And in part, absolutely, obviously, part of the enthusiasm for him is you're not Roman Reigns, and we like you for that too. But yeah, I mean the holy shit chants, were loud too. So I think it was successful. I mean, I'm trying to think if it struck me that the fans were aware, but I would say when Braun stepped out of the ring, that's the first time a really loud Undertaker chant took place. So
Right, because the order of the appearance sounded weird, because I expected Roman to show up and something happening, and then Taker to show up. And if you remember, and if I'm not mistaken, they played Roman's theme for like a quick second. I don't know if it was like a botch or something, but they played Roman's for a quick second, and then Undertaker, you know, the gong hit.
Yep. It was well done.
Yes, it was amazing. And let me see. I took some notes. I'm just trying to see if there's anything I need to add. Neville, I thought worked really well. He worked the crowd really well. They were,
yeah.
In terms of all cruiserweight matches, he got the loudest reaction during the match. And one last thing, it was crazy silent during Sasha and Bailey's match. I even tweeted you. It was unexpected, because I can understand with cruiserweight matches, you know, there's expected silence and people showing up, you know, leaving for concession stands and stuff. But it was super weird how silent it was during Bailey and Sasha's match.
Yeah.
I didn't know how it came across on the TV, but people were just dying for it. Actually, they cheered when Charlotte started, you know, interfering.
Yeah. Well, I think they've damaged Bailey's character because people have been speaking truth to her, and she didn't seem to care, and now she suddenly cares, it's too bad. It's too bad. I don't think Bailey's character was hard to get right, and they found a way to mess it up.
Mm-hmm. And I could barely hear Bailey's or Sasha's promos, because I don't know if it's something wrong with this sound system, audio system, but Charlotte was really good. I mean, her voice is really good, so it was very clear. The promo was really clear. It was so much fun. I'm so glad I showed up, because I know Undertaker's days in the ring are numbered, so I didn't want to miss it.
Do you remember who Tony Nese teamed with in the main event dark match or the pre-Raw match?
I want to say Noam Dar. Noam Dar and Alicia Fox, they showed up. Do you remember seeing Noam Dar or Alicia Fox during the main match by any chance, or no?
No.
No, then it's definitely them.
Okay, yep, good. So we filled that out. So, Jinder Mahal beat Axel. Curtis Axel and Mustafa and Gallagher beat Mason.
And Curtis Axel got really good pop. Curtis Axel got really good pop. Yeah. I had to like.
I guess Chicago was AWA territory, so there's still some carryover from that.
Gotcha. Awesome.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I was going to call right away, but I had to like wait for the wrestlers to leave. I caught a few of them leaving the arena. It's always fun seeing them. What did you know?
Any anecdote or story from that? Anyone signal the crowd or ignore them?
I'm so glad you asked. So everybody just saw quite a few of them. Just nothing significant. But Samoa Joe, he shows up. He rented a white Volkswagen. Some Jetta or something, but some of the fans were cheering, and he milked it for like 2 minutes. He would stand there, pose, wear his jacket slowly, and made a good scene. And he appeared like he was walking towards the fans, and he goes, "Nah, get out of here." he knew how to. Everybody just, got in the car and left. But Samoa Joe, I thought it was really fun how he did that.
That's cool. Were there any baby faces who ignored the crowd and should have acknowledged them?
No. It was nothing. I mean. Like Jack Gallagher, he sounded like he was trying to find out where his car was. They had like special parking, but he got into one car first, then he got into another car. Austin Aries though, I saw him like super close by, and you know, I said something and he just ignored. But Rich won. I said, what's up? And he was like, hey, how you doing? You know, he just at least acknowledged it, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty sweet.
That's too bad Aries didn't acknowledge it. I mean, you know, he's a baby face. He's in Chicago. That's too bad.
I thought he got really good pop, and how he handled the whole promo, I thought was really good. What do you think about, you know, that match? So is it the baby face in that
yeah.
feud then?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out that they were in Chicago for Aries revealing, you know, he's ready to get back in the ring. But Neville's definitely entrenched as a heel of that division right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. I think Aries will get himself over as a lead babyface, I think.
Yes, and I really think his commentary work really, you know, helped them get noticed and people respect him. I think like the mainstream crowd got to know him even before they saw him on the main roster.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Naveen, great. I appreciate the anecdotes, and I'm glad I pushed you for a few more stories there at the end.
Yeah, no problem. Pleasure is always mine. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure, we'll talk to you next time.
All right.
Always cool to hear from people who are in attendance at the show. So thanks to those of you who do that each week. All right, Kenny, Mobile, Alabama, thanks for your patience. What have you got for me tonight?
Yeah, Wade. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I think so. Keep talking. I'll let you know.
All right. I want to get your opinion. Do you think the closer we get to Mania, do you think the crowd's going to be like they were with Goldberg, kind of more against him, or do you think that he's going to have cheers and crowds going to boo Lesnar? Because I kind of think, you know, closer we get, he might have to face this type of crowd, you know, thinking he's going to be on Raw. That's all I got for you, and I look forward to hearing you and Sam on Wednesday night.
All right, cool. Thanks, Kenny. And Kenny may be listening to us Wednesday night. We'll be on the air live Wednesday afternoon. So join us. You can listen on demand Wednesday night, but 1 Eastern Wednesday, Sam Roberts joining me for the Midweek Flagship. And then, as I noted, Jim Ross joining me Thursday for Interview Thursday, also at 1 Eastern. I think Goldberg's going to get booed more and more. I mean, it just happens. There's nostalgia acts that people are into, and then people start turning on them or just it's less of a novelty. And then they start looking at a more objective evaluation of them. And I think people are going to look at Goldberg and they're going to see him perhaps as not delivering in the ring or on the microphone. And that will start to get to them. They'll start to say, wait a second, this guy can't cut a promo and he can't have a full-fledged match. And I like Lesnar better because he's sacrificed himself. I mean, people are going to think different ways depending on what type of fan you are, but some are going to think, hey, Lesnar helped Goldberg get over, did the job a couple times, and he's still so damn cool. But WrestleMania is a weird show in the sense that I don't know if Vince is going to try to push Goldberg as a heel and have Lesnar be, or push Goldberg as a face and have Lesnar be, you know, trying to be the heel, or just have Mania be that sort of, exception to the rule in that it's just star against star and let the pieces fall where they may, like Cena and Rock, you know, Michaels, Undertaker, it's just stars. And if fans cheer, great. If they boo, great. Certain wrestlers, but it's mostly about giving them something special. And that might be the way the hype goes too. But yeah, I think Goldberg will get increasingly negative reactions the more appearances he makes. And I think they should limit him because he's not a guy that they can count on to deliver a go-home promo, an effective promo. All right, let's go to Jake in Portage, Indiana. Jake, thanks for holding so long. What have you got for me?
Hey, what's up, Wade, man? I'm driving home from the show, too.
Oh, great. Yeah, I was thinking maybe with that area code you went, yeah.
Yeah, man, it was really awesome. I've been at the Allstate, man, 25, 30 shows, and this is right there close to the top. I mean, nothing for me will ever top Money in the Bank 2011, but this is right there with just seeing The Undertaker come out and the nostalgia that he has is good nostalgia, and it was 100% Taker over Roman in that building. I didn't see anybody over 10 years old cheering for Roman Reigns, and that includes my 11-year-old son, who is 100% behind Taker.
That's funny. Well, it's Undertaker. I don't think Roman's going to feel terrible if fans choose Undertaker over him. I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, that's better than everyone, you know, if he were feuding right now with Kevin Owens as a heel and everyone was cheering Owens, you know, Roman can be embarrassed by that. It's a peer, it's a contemporary. Fans are choosing a heel over him, but it's freaking Undertaker. So I think Roman will be less irked or embarrassed by the crowd reactions. But yeah, I think you're right. Age-wise, it's going to be few people cheering for Roman. I'm curious how Roman reacts to it. The body language, does he seem upset by it? And where do those fans who you say, like you say, some fans who normally cheer Roman, do they eventually side with Taker too?
I mean, yeah, how can you not? I mean, I've been watching this thing since day one. And when Roman, when he first came out with the Shield, man, I was like, all right, like you can just tell that this guy was put there for a reason. He didn't talk a lot. He didn't really wrestle a lot. It was more about Ambrose and Rollins at first. And then slowly, as when he went on his own, it was just this spoon-fed. And I think that's why the fans are so anti-Roman. It's because it's the establishment telling us, like, this is who you're going to like. And this is what we're going to give you, whether you like it or not. And that's why I think we're so about CM Punk, because he's that anti-establishment guy. And he gave us memories of Chicago that we're going to love forever. We'll never turn our back on him. And as soon as she came, the music hit for Stephanie, I looked at my brother. I said, are you ready? Because it's going to get loud there. and I think that's what it is, man. They tell us, you like him, period. And they never wanted us to like Punk. He was the guy that he rose to the top, kind of like Daniel Bryan, against what they wanted, and I think they don't like that.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, it's good to get a in-person perspective from that market, but I don't know when it's going to die down. I don't know when they're going to the Punk Chicago. I mean, if the fact that Punk is a Chicago guy and a huge Blackhawks fan, and that's a Blackhawks town, I think that contributes to it too. I mean, if Punk just disappeared completely. But I don't think losing an MMA did a lot of harm to his reputation in Chicago. I think it might have hurt him elsewhere.
I agree.
Yeah. Any other in-person notes? Anything else? Any other observations or things that surprised you?
Yeah, I missed the first few minutes of the show. I didn't know if anybody had mentioned that Backlash is going to be the May pay-per-view. That's the next time they're coming to Chicago. I think it was May 21st, SmackDown only pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That was announced tonight, and then Aries was over like Rover too, man. It was real interesting seeing that, and the Goldberg kind of shocked me, but I get it. And with Lesnar, he got the roof blew off when he came out too, because no one was expecting that, and it wasn't advertised. And that I love that about the Lesnar character, is when he shows up unadvertised, it's like, oh my God, like this dude's here, and it's just so cool.
Did you sense, did you know Taker or hear any talk in the building that Taker was going to be there?
Oh, yeah, I had a feeling all day. We were hiding it from my son. My brother and I were,
good.
We're trying to keep it as secret as we could from him. Like, don't say nothing because we think he's going to be there for sure. And everybody I was talking to around me were all like, when the Jericho Samoa Joe match went on before the Roman segment, it was sealed in my mind that he was going to come out.
Yeah, yep.
And there was
that makes sense.
That's
good deductive reasoning. Yeah. Well, cool, Jake. Have a safe trip home. Any closing comments or anything else to add?
No, I mean, I just really appreciate everything you do. I think stick my call because as soon as I get out of the arena, I'm like, dude, I got to call Wade right now, man, because I know you like those in-house reports and whatnot.
Go Bears!
That's very much. Yeah, all right. Very good. Yeah. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks a lot. All right, man.
You bet. Take care. We'll talk to you next time you call. All right. Sorry to everybody. I got to run. I got to still do my Weight Killer Hotline, running down this whole show. I do like 45 minutes in depth, running down everything. There's a lot we haven't talked about that happened on Raw. Go VIP right now, and you can hear my Raw report every Monday night, my SmackDown report every Tuesday night, and all the other daily hotlines that I do, plus the other shows I do throughout the week. Catch up on over at, well, now we're, what are we, 14 years, 12 to 14 years of VIP audio shows that are available on demand, plus all these retro radio shows from the 90s. I talked about it at length earlier. So if you're not VIP, check it out. It's $10 a month, $27.50 for 3 months, $99 for a year. Pick your option and go for it and treat yourself to even more than this live cast provides and the ads and plugs edited out. And that's a nice bonus too. Time is money. It's convenient. It's just all content minus the ads and almost all the plugs. So we thank you for choosing to listen to the PW Torch livecast. And I, again, apologize to the callers we didn't get to, but we I'm very happy with the range of callers we had today. So thanks to everybody who contributed by email and call. I should apologize to the emails I didn't get to either. We had a lot of emails come in during the show and, about Raw too. So it's a good problem to have, and I appreciate it. Tomorrow night after SmackDown, I'll be hosting. Call me then about SmackDown. And then Sam Roberts Wednesday and Jim Ross on Thursday. Check out DDP, too. That interview last Thursday, some really cool stuff in that interview from Diamond Dallas Page going to the Hall of Fame this year. And then Friday, I guess, hosted for Bruce Mitchell. So if for some reason you always avoid Bruce Mitchell audio shows, you can hear me Friday with Rich Fan. That's your reason to tune in Friday. I've been giving Bruce a hard time. Actually, people have been giving me a hard time, and Bruce has been running in and patting people on the back on Twitter. So any chance I can take a dig at Bruce this week, I'm going to. Follow me on Twitter. At the Wade Keller, follow our brand at PW Torch, and follow our sister brand at MMA Torch. Here's some more details on those retro radio shows that I talked about earlier that come with a VIP membership. As a PW Torch livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch livecast Saturday morning wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. I'll add to the plug, too, that we just heard that when you go VIP and our VIP member, you get a username and password, but our podcasts, our VIP podcasts are compatible with iTunes and popular podcast apps on iPhone and Android. We have a tutorial to walk you through how to log in on podcast apps so that you can get the VIP audio shows just like any other podcast that's free. And you can subscribe not only to all the shows in one feed, but we break it down by show category or show title. So you can subscribe to all our current event shows in one feed and all of our nostalgia-based shows in another feed, or each individual show broken down even to just Interview Thursday, if that's your favorite show and you want that ad free on a separate feed. So you're just a click away from the latest 10 or 12 interviews that we've done on the audio feed on your phone. You can do that. And we walk you through how to do it with an intro page when you sign up. That intro page is pwtorchvip.com/VIP tips. pwtorchvip.com/VIP tips. And that is a common question I get, and I feel I should say that more often. But anyway, that'll do it for me for today. Great. Long show. Lots of callers. A lot to talk about from Raw. I'll talk about SmackDown exclusively tomorrow, and then we'll try to make sense of it all with Sam Roberts and Jim Ross on Wednesday and Thursday. More to listen to if you haven't yet regarding Fastlane with Pat and Greg. So check that out. That was a show right before this one on Sunday night. Thank you again, everybody.